But in spite of how sinful she was and how many years that she had lived in sin, the Lord had died on the cross that if she would believe in Him, she could have everlasting life. And Jesus was going there deliberately and purposefully because Jesus intended for her to be saved. And so the Spirit of God moved in her heart, and she put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of her sins were washed away. Amen. All of her sins were washed away. Folks, I'm telling you, if you turn from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of your sins will be washed away forever. Never to be held against you in the court of heaven, your sins will be gone and you'll be forgiven. And instead of spending eternity separated from God in hell, you'll spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, wonderfully and forever blessed like this woman. And so in spite of all of the cultural barriers, in spite of all the hatred that existed between the Samaritans and the Jews, Jesus being Jewish by birth and she being Samaritan by birth, it was natural for those to hate one another. But there's nothing natural about Jesus, amen? He's God the Son. And Jesus loved her in spite of the fact that she hated all Jews. And in spite of the fact all the Jews really hated her and all of her Samaritans. She may have been one of the most hated people that existed in that day because she was a Samaritan, and because of her marital unfaithfulness over and over and over again, you might say she might have been one of the most likely people in the world to ever come to Jesus, who was Jewish by birth. Here was a Samaritan woman full of sin in her life, and now she was believing in Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord, even though he was Jewish by birth. That was highly unlikely. But it happened. And so here, the most unlikely person maybe that there was to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ was led to faith. And then that most unlikely person to be saved turns around and takes the most unlikely people that were left, and she leads them to faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know of anybody that would have been less likely to be a good witness for Christ than her. But God made her a great witness. And I want you to understand that no matter how you look at yourself, maybe you say, well, I'm too timid, or I'm too shy, or nobody respects me, or no matter, maybe you're saying, I am too ignorant of the gospel. I don't know how to tell someone how to put their faith in Christ. What do you think this woman knew? She didn't know anything. All she knew is that Jesus was way, way, way more than a normal person. And then by the Spirit of God, she came to realize when Jesus said, I am the Messiah, I am the Christ, I am the Savior of the world. Then she believed in Him. And even though when she went to her friends or her acquaintances or maybe her enemies and probably her ex-husbands, she went to them and said, this guy knows everything about me. And then she said, could this be the Christ? Now, she was saying that not because she doubted. She was putting it in a question form so they would come and see. And God used her witness to save a whole city of Samaria. And folks, I want you to understand, the more you think that you're not qualified to tell someone about Jesus, maybe the more qualified you are. Because you're not looking to what you can do. And you've just got to say to God, God, I can't do hardly anything. I don't know hardly anything. But God, I know you love me, and I know you died on the cross for me. And God, that's all I know. So God, if anything good comes out of this, it's you. And my friend, God can use that. You see, I'm not saying you shouldn't know more. I'm not saying you shouldn't study to know more. I'm not saying you shouldn't day and night read the Word of God so you can more clearly tell someone how to be saved. But what I'm telling you is you don't have to wait to start telling people about Jesus. Because this woman was converted. As soon as she's converted, she takes off back to the town where she was from, where everybody knew what kind of a woman she was. And she just started saying, listen, here's someone that you need to come and see. Why don't you come and see for yourself? So I want you to understand that in the Gospel of John, one of the greatest themes, not the theme, but one of the greatest themes in the Gospel of John is that you and I need to be, and you and I can be, a witness for Christ. Amen? Let's begin reading in the 27th verse. Jesus had already shared the good news with this woman at the well, and she was running off back to where where she was living. And at that point, his disciples came, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Now, it was unusual for a Jewish man to speak with a woman in a public place, and it was really, really, really unusual for a Jewish man to speak to a Samaritan, or especially a Samaritan woman. But none of them dared say anything. What do you speak, or why do you speak with her? So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? And they went out of the city and they were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And so the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work. What Jesus was saying is that, you know what? You know what fills me up? You know what satisfies me? You know what just takes care of me? Do you know what I care more about than anything? Do you know what I'd rather do than eat? It is bring someone else into the kingdom. That is what nourishes me. That's what satisfies me. And our Lord Jesus was so consumed with bringing her to faith in himself, he just wouldn't even think about eating at that point in time. Then he said, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they're white for harvest. And already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. Now, he was talking about something that was just about to happen. Jesus said, had looked up and he saw all of these people coming in their robes and the sun beating down on their lightly colored robes. It probably was glowing like like a wheat field will glow in the bright sun, and all of this crowd of people coming to him, he said, look, the fields, they're white, all ready to harvest. What he saw was the fact that this lady had gone back and told all the men in town, look, there is someone really special. There is someone amazing. There's someone that knew all of my sin. There's someone that knew all of the facts about my past life and all of the things that I am ashamed of. And yet he knew them all, and he offered me everlasting life. Come and see if this is not the Christ. And Jesus was saying to the disciples, this woman has done the sowing. This woman has done all the preparatory work. You know, she didn't share the gospel with any of those so that any of them were converted. She just said, I think this is the Christ. Will you come and see? But she had sowed, and Jesus was there to reap what she had sowed. And probably some of the disciples were reaping what she had sowed. She had sowed, and they reaped. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. And from that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all the things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. I said that one of the major themes of John's gospel is being a witness for Christ. You say, preacher, I can do anything. I can help build a church. I can give. I can help feed the poor. I can hold a flag out there on the side of the road and tell the poor they can have free food. Preachers, there's a lot of things I can do, but I can't tell someone how to be saved. I can't tell someone. I can't be a witness. And I'm here to tell you, there's not anything in the world more important than you being a witness for Christ. There's nothing you'll ever do in all of your life that will be as important as you telling someone else about Jesus. You say, well, I don't know what to tell them. Tell them that their sins can be forgiven, and you know they can because God has forgiven yours. And that if God can forgive my sins, God can forgive yours. If you're saved, you know Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And that you can be saved by believing in him. And if that's all you can tell someone, why don't you tell them that much? And then say, If you would come to church with me, you can hear more about Jesus. Really, that's all that woman did. She told them very simply, Jesus has told me things about myself. I can't understand how I know. He must be the Christ. Come and listen. Come and listen. And my friend, when she just said that little bit, the power of God did the rest. And my friend, there's not anybody here that can't do that much. Nobody here that can't say, my life was messed up and Jesus saved me. Why don't you come and hear about him? My life was messed up. Everywhere I go, I talk to people that their lives are messed up. I talked to someone today, their life is messed up. I said, why don't you come and let's talk more? You can do that. If you can't do anything but say that, you know, I struggle with sin. I still struggle with sin. I was so guilty of sin. My life was so messed up. And God forgave me. Why don't you come and hear for yourself? I love one of our church members. He's all time trying to get someone to do something else for Jesus. And he's all time trying to get me to do more for Jesus. I like that. And he always does more things for Jesus. And he wants to be a witness for Jesus. And yet he would probably look at himself as not being a very good witness for Jesus. I'm going to tell you, as long as you're trying to lead people to Jesus, you're doing a wonderful thing. And you may not personally lead anyone to Christ this year or next year or the next year or the next. You may. I'm telling you, God can convict a heart with what you share way more than you think. And God can save someone that you or maybe you only have witnessed to. But it doesn't matter if you sow or if you reap, as long as you're sowing with the intention for someone to be reaped. Because God does the saving. That woman could never, ever persuade someone to be saved. She couldn't, you can't, the Apostle Paul couldn't. Nobody can persuade someone to be saved. But we ought to try to persuade them to be saved. And let God do it. I read the story about George Mueller. If you've never read George Mueller's biography, you ought to. God used him phenomenally. Amazingly, George Mueller, after the war, had fed thousands and thousands and clothed and housed thousands of orphans and shared the gospel with them, and hundreds and hundreds and perhaps thousands were converted and saved. But there were three men George Mueller prayed for and witnessed to all of his life. He prayed and witnessed all of his life to these three men. And George Mueller died, and not one of those three men had been saved. He sowed and he sowed and he sowed. A man so in love with God, he could ask God to supply food for 1,000 kids and be broke. Broke. He lived all of his years taking care of first 20 or 30, and then 100, and then 200, and then 300, then 500, and eventually 1,000. And all of the money that came in to feed these kids was always used up, so that every week he had nothing to feed the kids the next week, nothing to buy fuel for their homes. Read the biography. And yet, without ever going to one person to ask for money. Difference in him and these modern day preachers. George Mueller was feeding 1,000 kids, housing them, keeping them warm. Never ask one person for anything. Even on a day they didn't have enough money to buy the nighttime meal, he didn't call anybody on the phone and say, "We're out of money, can you help us?" Not one time. He just held his hands up to God and says, "God, you know what they need. Will you give it?" And then God would supply. But the man who could bring down sustenance for 1,000 kids by prayer alone prayed for 3 men all of his life, and they were never saved while he was alive. But he sowed and he sowed and he sowed. And then after he was dead, someone else reaped where he was sowed. All 3 of the men he prayed for were saved before they died. Do you see? God has called you and I to be witnesses for Christ. He said about John the Baptist that he was to bear witness to the light. Then the Lord Jesus had led Andrew to faith in Christ. And Andrew went and did what? He told his brother Peter. He was a witness for Christ. Then the Lord witnessed to Nicodemus. And then he witnessed to this Samaritan woman. And what did the Samaritan woman do after she was saved? The most unlikely person in the world went to tell all of these men in the city that she lived in that knew her past. And she was, you know, no doubt embarrassed about her past. But instead of being embarrassed about it, she just said, "Hey, guys, y'all know I'm a guilty sinner, but I have found the Savior. Come and see." And they came and saw. You know, sometimes we'd be just a whole lot better. And instead of trying to act like we're something we're not, we might be a whole lot better if we just tell people, "Look, I'm a sinner. I have struggles with sin. But God has forgiven me and saved me, and God will forgive you and save you too." I don't think anybody ought to go around just bragging about how sinful they were and all the bad things they've done. I don't think anybody ought to go flaunting that. But I think every one of us should be able to say to people that struggle with sin, "I want you to know I struggle too. And God has given me victory. And God has delivered me from some, but I still struggle." And say to them, I don't have to tell you all about my past, but I'm thankful God saved me from my past. And he can save you from your past too. And he will, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me quickly try to say 3 things. 1, all of us should become a witness for Christ. Every one of us. You should become a witness for Christ. No matter what else you do, nothing else you do will ever be as important as you becoming a witness for Christ. I read about the man who first found penicillin. Kind of unusual the way he found it, you know, mold growing in a plate, and there was bacteria all over the plate except where that mold was growing. And you know, something went ding, 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 ding. Bacteria can't survive where this mold is. Let's figure this out. Do you have a clue how many millions of people lived 50 years longer than they would have lived had penicillin never been found? Before there were antibiotics, how many people died of infections that could have been saved? Wow. You say, what an awesome guy. What an unbelievable guy. He is. He's awesome. It's unbelievable that a man could do that. But everybody that lived 50 more years still died. And if they didn't receive Christ as their Savior, they're burning in hell. I think it's an awesome invention, or it's an awesome discovery. I think America has been benefited and the world has been benefited like discovery. How about the guy that came up with the vaccine for smallpox? Millions of people were dying that after the smallpox vaccination, they lived. They'd have never lived to be past teen years or 20s. Had it not been for the vaccine. But still, if they don't believe in Christ, they'll burn forever in a lake of fire. I'm telling you, there's some great people that have done great things for people. But no one has ever done anything as great as telling someone Jesus is the Savior of the world. You'll never teach your kids anything as important as teaching your kids about the Savior of the world and teaching them to tell others about Jesus, who's the Savior of the world. Moms and dads send their kids to school, they send them to college, and they're hoping their kids become something. And they should. All of you should become something. The Word of God teaches everybody needs to make a living. Everybody needs to work and make a living. Every man in this building should have supplied for his family, and many ladies are gifted by God and are very good contributors to the finances of households. And those things are marvelous and wonderful and good. But no matter what you do, no matter what your job is, no matter what level you achieve, no matter how awesome you change the world, if you don't learn to be a witness for Christ, you've still failed. You failed at what's the most important. I didn't say if you don't ever personally see someone pray to receive Christ, you're a failure. I didn't say that. God gives the increase. Most people that witness enough and witness often enough, and most people who are filled with the Spirit of God are going to see some people get saved. But my friend, if you don't learn to do at least what this Samaritan woman did, you failed at the Christian life. We are saved from our sin. We're saved that God changes our life. But my friend, we're saved to be witnesses for Jesus. Jesus said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. That's God's plan for your life. I'm a turkey hunter. I love to turkey hunt. When I lose a little more weight, I'll be a better turkey hunter. I'll go up the mountains quicker. I'll go over more mountains. I'll try harder. I won't give up as soon. I won't say to the turkey, hey, you come to me. I can't come to you. I'll be a better turkey hunter. But my friend, it doesn't matter what else I do. If I don't have a passion to bring people to Jesus, I've got my focus mixed up. No parent will do a greater thing than to teach your kids to be a witness for Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing that there is for a child of God. if we follow Christ, that we become a witness. And this woman shows us how to be a witness. Even when we're new believers and poorly trained. You say, well, I'm a new believer. I don't know how. I never had any training. I'm not saying you shouldn't get training. We all should get better training. We all should learn and study to be a good witness for Christ. But please don't wait till you're a trained witness for Christ. Do what this lady said. And God can use you phenomenally. The second thing I wanted to point out to you is that her becoming a witness was what Jesus was so excited about. You said, what do you mean by that? Well, Jesus said, look, there's a field ready to be harvested, and someone has sowed, and we're fixing to reap. What was he excited about? This woman had sowed, and he was about to reap. How many of you have ever been excited about your kids playing ball? I've been excited about that. I've also sat through some pretty dull, boring games. I'm just telling you, folks, I can't see too much exciting in first-year T-ball, except the way mamas act. Now, that gets pretty exciting. Or with a grandmama's act, that's even more exciting. I taught my kids to play ball. That's the reason they weren't real great. How good they were depended on them a lot more than my teaching. I don't think there's anything wrong with your kids playing ball. Are you teaching them to play ball? I think all those things are good things. I think family, doing things with family is awesome. I think that's biblical. But my friend, if you're not teaching your kids to be witnesses for Jesus, you're missing the most important thing they'll ever do. If they invent the cure for cancer, I'm not talking about a treatment. If one of your children comes up with a cure that will cure 20% of the cancers of the world, or 40 or 50 or 100% of the cancers of the world, their name will be written down in infamy. But if they don't know Jesus, they'll still burn in hell. And if they come to know Christ, but they never come to be a witness, they'll go into heaven empty-handed. Must I go in empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? You see, the world somehow gets to our minds and tells us, this is what you need to do. That's why you've got to read the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? This is what you need to do to bear witness to the light. The best witness you can bear. Study to bear better witness, but we'll start witnessing for Christ now. Do the best you can. Tell what you know. If all you know is that you were lost and you were dying and you were going to hell and Jesus saved you and you're on your way to heaven now, tell your friends that. Hey, I wish you would come to church with me and learn more. Or I wish you would talk to Brother so-and-so and learn more. I care about you. I want you to know Jesus too. I read this morning that President Trump was just notified that Kim Jong-un of North Korea has now agreed to complete denuclearization and that he wants to meet with Trump and they've agreed to meet again. You know, it's on and off, it's on and off, it's on and off. But wouldn't that be wonderful if they really did? If North Korea really agreed to denuclearization, wouldn't that would be a wonderful thing? Regardless of who you are and what you think about Trump or what I think about him, regardless of what we think about him, if he were to be used to denuclearize North Korea and the North and the South Korea could be reunited and the gospel doors could be open, wouldn't that be wow? But if folks, listen, if President Trump doesn't know Jesus Christ, he'll still spend eternity in hell. And if he knows Jesus Christ and he doesn't ever try to lead someone to faith in Christ, he'll die a failure. I would rather my grandkids point people to Jesus than to be the president of the United States. Would you? Would you? Please. I'm telling my kids. I'm telling you. Please teach your kids to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to become fishers of men. And wherever you work, you say, well, preacher, I'm too embarrassed. Someone burning in a lake of fire or you being embarrassed. Someone burning in the lake of fire forever. Or you being embarrassed. I think it's worth embarrassment to try to rescue someone from hell. Isn't it? It is. Let's pray together. Father, please, God, don't let your words fall on deaf ears. And no matter how scared we are, no matter how embarrassed we are, don't let Satan get the victory. God, may we each one do our best, fumbling around, trying to figure out what can I say, how can I say it. But God, somehow, God, put it in our heart to get some words out about you and about how you love to save people in their sin, from their sin. And God, if we do nothing else after that but say, come and see, come and learn. God, that sower, oh God, they're going to see a reaper somewhere. And we'll praise you forever in the wonderful name of Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, will you pray right where you are? God, forgive me for not sowing. God, forgive me for not sowing. God, give me grace to start sowing. God, help me overcome embarrassment to help sow. God, make me a better witness, but until I'm a better witness, God, just make me a poor witness. A poor witness is still a witness. God, make me a witness. Is my prayer. I hope you prayed that. If the Lord is directing you or your family to unite with this church, I'd love for you to do that today. Pastor, I want to become a part of this church. Maybe you're coming to be saved and be baptized. Maybe you've been saved, but you've not been baptized. Maybe you're already saved and baptized, but you want to join this church by a promise of a letter from your church. But if you want to become a part of our church family today, why don't you just make your way right now? If not, I hope you'll come soon.